This is On the Media. I'm Bob Garfield.
And I'm Brooke Gladstone. These days, disinfectant is in short supply, especially the oldest one, sunlight. According to Bloomberg News, some hospitals in hard-hit areas have barred their employees from speaking to the media and, more recently, from posting on social networking sites or chat rooms. And the informational lockdown isn't just limited to hospitals. Last week, NPR reported that many major city halls have kept their pandemic response plans, quote, under lock and key. Of the 15 large cities that NPR contacted for their plans, 7 denied the request outright.
Take some of the biggest cities in Texas. Austin has a plan on its website from 2006 that instructed city officials to communicate using CD-ROMs. A spokesperson told NPR that actually the city's most recent plans are from 2011, but they aren't on its website. Houston said the plans on its website from 2006 were also out of date. After NPR asked about those plans, the city took them down.
City leaders in California asked their governor late last month for relief from the state's sunshine laws mandating the release of information. And Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot asked her state to suspend its Freedom of Information Act deadlines. The USS Theodore Roosevelt, an aircraft carrier docked in Guam, has been without its previous captain for about a week, Brett Crozier having been fired for a whistleblowing email about the mounting threat the virus posed to his already ailing crew. On Monday, then Acting Navy Secretary Thomas Modley visited the ship in Guam, apparently to trash Crozier on the PA system.
That information was going to get out into the public in this information age that we live in, then he was A, too naive or too stupid to be the commanding officer of a ship like this.
Meanwhile, President Trump, who's told states to fend for themselves, has had FEMA blocking orders for vital equipment secured by governors, some of them anyway, so the government can buy them instead. This week, FEMA seized an order for 500 ventilators from a private company obtained by Democratic Colorado Governor Jared Polis, only to have Trump give back 100 of them at what he called the request of the state's endangered Republican Senator Cory Gardner. Thursday's Denver Post editorial declared, "Trump is playing a disgusting political game with our lives." But the Trump administration says it's got a plan and that it's working. White House advisor Peter Navarro, April 2nd.
These guys up here are doing a heck of a job organizing the supply chain.
Well, I think that's news to a lot of medical providers.
Noam Levy is a national healthcare reporter for the LA Times trying to follow the COVID-19 supply chain.
I can't say I've talked to many hospitals or doctors' offices or clinics around the country who feel that the supply chain is being managed in anything close to a rational way, that's for sure. And we can't seem to get answers from FEMA or the White House about what system, if any, is being used to balance the needs. A couple of weeks ago, I was speaking with the head of the Texas Academy of Family Physicians, who, working with a golfing buddy of his, managed to get about 500,000 masks over the border from Mexico, and then spent about 72 hours getting them to rural hospitals and doctors' offices around Texas because the state of Texas didn't have anything to distribute. So you've got this system in which everybody's running around trying to get masks and ventilators and everything else. And then on top of that is a totally opaque system of what appears to be haphazard intervention by the federal government on some supplies, but not all of them. Everyone is completely perplexed.
We hear that Trump is having no problem directing to Florida whatever Florida seems to need.
So FEMA, which is the agency that is allegedly responsible for distributing supplies from the Strategic National Stockpile, has claimed that they have some formula for distributing medical supplies that reflects states and large metro areas' relative populations and the relative severity of coronavirus outbreaks. They are actually shipping things across the country. However, it's impossible to find out what that formula is, whether or not allowances are being made in one way or another for criteria that have not been identified. President Trump hasn't been shy about claiming that he's willing to reward his friends and punish his enemies. The conspiracy-minded person might think, well, is there some nefarious method to how these supplies are getting distributed or not? We just don't know.
What difference does it really make if we know or we don't know what the formula is for distributing this stuff?
This is taxpayer money that we're talking about. Private actors in the market, of course, don't have an obligation to be transparent about what they're doing because there's no expectation under normal circumstances that they're acting in the public interest. We hope that the government is acting in the public interest, but without transparency, who knows?
Who's accountable for this? Who's in charge? Is it Rear Admiral John Polovchik, who's at the head of FEMA's Coronavirus Supply Chain Task Force? Is it FEMA Director Peter Gaynor? Is it Peter Navarro, who is reportedly coordinating private and public sector communication? Maybe it's Jared Kushner or the Invisible Hand. Is it really fundamentally the president and no one else?
You know, without clear lines of authority, things are not getting done, as far as we know, in a particularly efficient way. Nor do we know that however they're being done is being done in a lawful way, frankly. If, for example, the president's son-in-law is dialing up private companies and asking them to give support in one way or another to the supply chain challenges, what assurances are being made to those companies about what they can expect? I'm talking about promises that are made to company X that if they help out, that they'll be made whole in the end, will they be reimbursed at a certain level? Without a process, all of that is open to question.
Is there a way to have an informed, data-driven approach to this, as Jared Kushner said the federal government was engaged in, if in fact the federal government isn't engaged in an informed, data-driven approach? Can big business, small business, health officials, state officials do this on their own?
So the facts on the ground suggest that this can't happen on its own. Now, that's not to say that there aren't a lot of efforts by individual actors, some of them quite influential, to play a constructive role. I mean, we've seen a number of large companies, including Apple, for example, say we are going to use our connections to the supply chain to procure masks, and we're going to distribute them. The owner of the New England Patriots flew the Patriots plane to China to go pick up a shipment of masks and flew them back to Boston. The problem is when you have this sort of thousand points of light approach to procuring and distributing needed supplies, what ends up happening is that well-connected medical centers that have relationships with large companies, either because they do business with them or because they're located in their backyards, are oftentimes at the top of the list. So, for example, Salesforce made a donation to the University of California San Francisco Medical Center because they have a long-standing relationship, both being based in San Francisco. Does UCSF need that equipment more than a hospital in New York City or New Jersey? That's a lot to ask of Salesforce to try to make that determination. They don't have any expertise in doing that.
Do you know where Apple donated those 10 million N95 masks for healthcare workers?
We asked them and they wouldn't tell us.
Do we know that they actually did?
Nope.
What did you think of this piece in The Atlantic last month by Zeynep Tufekci? She wrote that one of the major catalysts for the spread of the pandemic so much faster than it needed to was an over-reliance on linear thinking. We can trust that the ventilator shortage can be solved by making more ventilators, but if we do, we completely overlook the crucial factor of the system itself and the problem of fair and expedient distribution. In systems, quote, multiple things can go wrong together.
It is easier to talk about, well, we just need to make more ventilators. Envisioning a successful civic-minded distribution system, I think, is more challenging. Healthcare in general, no matter how complicated it is, I've been covering healthcare for more than a decade. I can tell you before this crisis, I didn't think much about the supply chain part of the equation either.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Good to be with you. Thanks.
Noam Levy is a national healthcare reporter for the LA Times.